Welcome to Job Tales, the podcast where you can listen to dozens of interviews and learn about your potential future favorite job. My guest today is head of marcoms and engagement at a firm that supports tech startups in Switzerland. She will tell us about her studies, her move to Geneva years back to find a job at the United Nations, the personal journey into her career, and much more. Enjoy! Hello, Anna Maria. Anna Maria Meshkurti is with us today, and she's actually at an airport in between flights. So thank you very much for being here with me. And you're a marketing, communications and engagements specialist, let's say a manager at a company based in Geneva. Can you tell me more about yourself?
Thank you, Lara, and thanks so much for having me. It's such a great pleasure. Yes, definitely. So I work at FONGIT, which is it's an acronym, actually. And it stands for the Geneva Foundation for Technology Innovation. This is a private foundation funded by the state of Geneva. And what we do is we're supporting tech companies that are based in Geneva and are really willing to, you know, create those big businesses and employ a lot of people in the canton. We have been doing this since 1991. And I joined this foundation actually last year in January. And I haven't been there for so long, but it has been a very, very vibrant and exciting time. I'm the head of marketing, communications and engagement there. And what my role entails is really looking after, obviously, marketing the foundation, you know, really ensuring that all the entrepreneurs that need to know that we exist, know that we exist, they know our services, and they can have a very easy, smooth approach on applying to be supported by us. And at the same time, my role also entails to really find those stakeholders and those partners that we need to engage with so that we can give more opportunities to our entrepreneurs. Besides this, we do a lot of digital marketing, a lot of print media as well, because we want to be in the most relevant publications in Geneva and in Switzerland, as well as in the DACH region, which includes Germany, Austria, as well as we have some reach in France too. So we ensure to do that. And we ensure also to be part of the biggest tech events out there, because we know our entrepreneurs are very much into, you know, going out there, pitching, meeting investors. So we ensure to be part of those big events and give the opportunity to the entrepreneurs to be part of them as well. So this is pretty much in a nutshell, I would say.
Okay. And then you were telling me before, you don't say incubation services anymore, but it's more like a support services. So can you tell me more about that aspect, and also what kind of companies you're addressing your, let's say, investment in?
Yeah, definitely. So in the beginning, I would say the foundation was the premier Swiss incubator, because when it started in 91, you know, it was really at the genesis of the whole incubation idea. And it was the first, I would say, incubator in Switzerland. But why we changed this is that our services, our support services are really tailored to our entrepreneurs. So when entrepreneurs are coming, you know, we really try to understand with our coaches, with our committee, what do they need? And really try to tailor the services to their needs instead of making them go through a specific program. So for instance, in many of the big incubators or accelerators, you have to join a cohort. You are doing 6 months or 1 year of a specific program. It's tailored to you, but not so much. We are really doing the opposite of that. We have entrepreneurs, our median age is around 35, 40 years old for our entrepreneurs. They're all coming, you know, from previous jobs where they were C-level managers, etc. They found a niche in the market and they wanted to create a solution. So sometimes, you know, they have a lot of experience in a specific area and they might not need as much coaching or as much support in that area. This is why we sit down with them and we really try to understand what they need, and we try to provide that. And this is why we changed it to support services instead of incubation services. Also because I think this word is also kind of getting phased out a little bit and not being used as much. And the type of companies we support is companies in tech in general. Switzerland is known to be the deep tech nation, so the nation of a lot of technology coming out of scientific research, as well as Geneva is also well known to be for life sciences and a lot of health tech. So we see a lot of entrepreneurs in this space being supported by us. And this is, I would say, the direction that we're going in today.
And you were talking about deep tech, which is a term I hadn't really quite heard before. And it's more related to genetics and advanced science. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Everything to do with high-tech innovation in engineering and scientific advances.
Okay, awesome. And have you always been in marcoms, so marketing communication?
Actually, I started when I did my studies. I studied in the UK in London, and I studied politics. That was kind of my thing at the time. So I really wanted to. Before that, I actually did filmmaking for 1 year, and I discovered I'm not a successful filmmaker. So I just quit that. But it was a lot of fun. And then I went into politics. That was something I was really passionate about. I also wanted to be, you know, a minister or an ambassador or something like that. And so after finishing my studies, I got involved in a foundation that really supported different programs on agriculture, youth employment, girl-child education, mainly in African countries. And it was based in Nigeria and London. And when I got with the foundation, I did a lot of humanitarian work. And that was something, you know, that I pursued for around a year almost. And then whoever studies politics or international relations knows that the United Nations is kind of like the place that you want to go next. And I really, really wanted to go to the UN. So you have to choose between Geneva and New York and decide, you know, where you want to try your luck, let's say. And I decided to move to Geneva purely because there's more chances, I thought. There is a lot of UN agencies apart from the main UN. And a lot of people don't know this. And I discovered this myself, you know, when I was doing my research, that you have agencies like UNICEF, right, which is one of the most famous ones that we always see them everywhere. But like WHO, the health agency, which became quite famous also during COVID. And you have so many agencies, so many programs, therefore many more opportunities than in New York, where you have the main UN and perhaps a couple more, you know, agencies and programs, but not so much as Geneva. And so I moved to Geneva to do that. And that was really my goal, working in the UN. And honestly, I didn't have a specific desire where to work. I was just like, I want to work for the UN. So I was just applying.
Doesn't matter where.
Exactly. Everything that was in UN, I was like applying for it.
And did you manage?
Yes, I worked for the UN for 9 years, actually.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah. It's not simple.
So hard, really. In the beginning, you know, if you don't know the system and you don't really understand how it works, it can be very difficult. I decided in the beginning I was applying for jobs, you know, I had some experience. So I thought I'm going to apply for an entry level position, but I wasn't getting anything at all. And because I was living in London, I think they were looking also at my address and just being like, oh, this is not Geneva, whatever. So what I decided to do is I decided to actually move to Geneva first and then without a job, and then just apply for jobs again. But I couldn't find anything. And so I thought, let me do an internship because I'm overqualified for an internship. And the UN internships, not all of them, but most of them are unfortunately unpaid. And still today, this is a big debate that, you know, many of us continued to try to change.
Yeah.
And because it was an unpaid internship, you know, I thought, of course, they will take someone with like a year plus of experience. You know, it's easy to get there. So I was overqualified for it. And that's how I got in. I got an internship.
Okay.
And I
did it where? For, which agency?
At the ITU, where I continued my career. This is the International Telecommunication Union. It's the agency that focuses on telecommunication and technology. So in the beginning, you know, it was very hard telecom oriented because, of course, telecom, especially in the good days, I would say in the booming days of telecom. And now because of the advancements in tech since a couple of years, it's really looking at more issues of technology, standardizing, you know, AI and metaverse and everything that is coming out today. And I worked there for a couple of months, and something that I didn't know and it kind of hit me was that in this specific agency, and every agency has different rules, but in this specific agency, after you finish your internship, you have to wait for 6 months before you apply for a job there. So this is like a life lesson. Please check the rules before. Because, you know, I thought, you know, I will get this internship, I'll do my best, try to impress everybody and then get a job after. So when I finished the internship, they were super happy, you know, they would be super happy to keep me. But unfortunately, I had to wait 6 months. And as we know, 6 months is a long time. People forget about you. So I was really kind of stressed about it. And I was very lucky that through my time at the internship, I really put a lot of attention to network with people. And this is what I would say is one of the key things that I always mention throughout my career. Networking or kind of creating strong relations with people has been, I would say, like a game changer for me in the career and has really helped me. So through that, I managed to get something else in another agency and then, you know, come back to the ITU after the 6 months and then continue my career there for almost 9 years.
Oh, fantastic. And then what brought you then to Fondjit? Was it like a new opportunity? Did they contact you or did you want to explore new things?
So, you know, after 9 years in the UN, I changed a lot of jobs. So I was very lucky. I was promoted a lot of times. Oh, sorry about this.
You were at the airport.
Yeah, from the live live movements. So together we're going to hear the update. But yeah, so what happened basically was that after some years at the UN, you know, I moved a lot of jobs. So I was lucky to get promoted and I had a bigger team and, you know, I was doing new things. And this is something that I would say kept me staying, because if I did the same job for so many years, it would have been quite difficult to stay. I'm this kind of personality that gets bored after some times. So I like to move. I like to do new things. Even when I get a job, you know, I always try to add like more stuff that has nothing to do with the job.
So I can hear you're a high energy person. So you do need to get challenges in your life, right?
Exactly. So you can imagine, like, you know, if I was doing the same job for 9 years, it would be impossible. So after that, you know, I decided, like, you know, when you have a goal and you say like, oh, I really want to do this, or you see like your colleague and you say, I would love to be in that position. And then you get to that position and then you say like, okay, what now? It's the same thing, but you know, you just have more responsibility, more kind of team members to manage. But in the end of the day, you don't really see like why you were so obsessed with that. And that's kind of what happened to me. So then I started thinking, maybe it's the time for me to make a change. And you know, people say usually you should stay up to 10 years and then move jobs. So I tried to like read a lot and try to think, you know, what I want to do. And then I got recruited actually on LinkedIn, which I totally thought it was a scam when they wrote to me, because, you know, I was like, what? You want to hire me and you're sending me a LinkedIn message? This is weird. but it works. So please answer your LinkedIn messages. This is my my lesson from that one. And they, yeah, there was a recruitment agency. They sent me a message. Then they said, we have a position which kind of merges marketing, tech, you know, like the government / private sector. So it's kind of for a person that has a lot of different experiences. And given I ran an incubator program at the ITU, I also had this experience, you know, with startups and the experience with governments, of course. So it kind of like fit in. And I went to do a couple of interviews. I really loved the place. It was really, really cool. And I really loved the team I had at ITU at the time. So it was very difficult. But it was one of those things like, either you're going to move now or you will continue the career there. So it's like one of those moments that you just take the risk and then you see what happens after.
So far, no regrets?
No, absolutely not. I try not to have any regrets in general. And I have to say, every job I did, it's really been like a learning experience. I did once a job which I thought was kind of not good enough, or whatever one could say, you know, that wasn't like, you know, something I felt like I was wasting my time. And somebody gave me this advice. They said, whatever job you do, even you think it's not the right job for you or whatever, you are in it now. So just do your best, you know, learn whatever and then move on. And I really took that advice to heart. And when I moved after to another job, a couple of things that I learned in that job, which I thought was not good or whatever, actually made me, you know, lead things in the other job, because nobody was aware of those. So that really stayed with me. So every time I do something, you know, I try to do it like 100%, very good. And then if you want to move, you want to move, but at least nobody has anything to say about what you did.
And now you're traveling a lot for work. So what does your work entail in terms of traveling? Where do you go? What do you do?
So in terms of work, we are really focused on bringing, you know, entrepreneurs, either like ensuring that we're supporting the ones based in Geneva already, but also ensuring that there's others, you know, that might be interested to move to Geneva to open their companies there. This is not our primary, let's say, you know, responsibility or our primary focus, but it's always good to ensure that we are doing that. And it's also good to ensure that we are going to events, we are, you know, speaking at various events, so that entrepreneurs know that we are here. But also when entrepreneurs are getting investors from different countries, you know, if they say, oh, I'm incubated or supported or whatever they want to say by Fongit, you know, the investor is not like, what is this? I've never heard of it. So this is why we do this job that at first hand might seem unrelated, But then, you know, if you've heard of us, then the entrepreneur, it's easier for them to make the case instead of if you've never heard. It's like when people get supported by Y Combinator, which is like one of the biggest support entities in the world, I would say, and some of the best startups coming out of it. You know, immediately, if you hear that, you're like, oh, you must be a good startup. So this is the same kind of strategy in marketing behind.
Okay, so now you're going, for example, to Kuwait, if I understand correctly?
Yeah, so I'm going to the Middle East, exactly in a couple of different countries, and for various, you know, like events and various meetings to see if there is some sort of connect. I also, at the same time, am part of the Global Shapers community, which is a World Economic Forum community of young people that are really giving back time to the cities they are part of. And through this network as well, I get to do a lot of activities with them. And this also, I always try to, you know, ensure that wherever I go with this community, I also involve my work in the sense that I can also kind of promote my work.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm doing things with this community in my personal time that I try to involve my work in as well.
Ah, fantastic. So no boring day for you.
Yeah.
And what would you say has helped you a lot in your career so far in terms of lessons learned and skills that you've acquired over the years?
What has helped me, I would say, definitely people. I mean, I'm here because of people gave me chances. And I think that's like something so important. So I put a lot of importance on creating relations with people and being very, you know, open and very kind of yes man type of person. So many times, you know, I try to take opportunities that people have given me or if I've been asked for support and it's not in my job description, as some people say, or, you know, it's not part of maybe what I should be doing. I always try to make sure that I'm doing that because it's very important. I think in the long run, you create a lot of good relations with people. You showcase what you can do and you never know then later on who appreciated that and who gives you an opportunity that you wouldn't have. So I would say being like very open and really taking chances. Even sometimes, you know, I do things that I say yes, but actually I'm not really, I don't think I can do it or I'm not so sure. And then I just start stressing about it later on. But, you know, in the beginning, I just say yes and I just take it. And I think this kind of attitude has really helped me because it really has opened more doors. So sometimes I do things that I think I cannot do it, but then it opens another door and another door. And that builds you that skill of also being very adaptable. So wherever you go, you know, wherever people throw you at, you can actually do things. You can really think fast on your feet because you are always in different environments. If you stay in the same environment, and I don't mean like staying in the same job. You can stay in the same job for many years, but you're constantly doing new things or, you know, meeting new people from everywhere. I think that's really a game changer. Otherwise, we become like stagnant water, you know, and you don't move and then anything can perturbate you.
So any lesson learned so far that you can share or anything that, because you, interesting what you said at the beginning, you said you were not successful at being a filmmaker. Now, how did you, let's say, quantify that for you? What was the trigger that made you think and made you say, okay, no, I did a... some studies, I'm not good for that, I'm going to move on.
That's a good point, actually. Maybe successful is not the word that I should have used because it's very personal, right? Like, and success can be seen in so many different ways. But when I went to do that, I went to the university or to the school, right, that you study filmmaking. And I met a lot of people that were, I felt so creative, you know, they already like knew which movies they wanted to do since a very young age. And when I arrived there, I felt a little bit like I'm not supposed to be here. And I even felt like I took someone's place because it was it's like a limited kind of spacing that you get spots in. And then I said, oh, okay, cool, but I'm still here and maybe I bring something different or maybe this is, you know, a world I want to be in. And then the more I stayed with the people around me, I understood actually that I wasn't creative in the sense of like I didn't care to produce a movie. I didn't have a script in mind, you know, that I wanted to do since all my life. I hadn't seen any of the movies that everybody was talking about, but I was very good at, you know, like the production side. So organizing, you know, calling people, getting the actors in, getting things that like really pushing it, you know, negotiating, whatever. So that made me feel, okay, I can do these skills. These are transferable skills. I can do them in a lot of places. So I'm not going to do them in the movie industry, and I'm going to go into another industry. So okay. That's what made me feel, you know, by seeing who was in that scene and seeing how passionate the people were, I felt like, I think this is not my passion. It's just maybe a little bit of a, I don't know how to say, like a moment where, because how this happened was that I worked for a commercial when I was living in Albania. I volunteered / worked when I was very young for a commercial company. And they were doing a lot of commercials for TV. And that's where a lot of people working there said, oh, maybe you should think about this. Maybe you should do movies. So it was kind of a little bit of a moment of a caprice, you know, like, oh, maybe I should do this. Mm-hmm. But not really thinking about it. Whether it's politics, I always loved it, always read about it. So when I saw the people that I was in class with, it reminded me of the passion I had for politics. And it made me think, okay, I'm not in the right place. But it's cool, and I learned a lot of things, and I made great friends. So, you know, that was a great experience. But, like, let's go back now to what I wanted to do.
Excellent. And could you pinpoint a moment in your professional life where you had, let's say, a hard time?
Oh, so many.
Mention one or two.
A hard time. I would say two things. Maybe I, once when I wanted to get a promotion, and I was so, you know, like obsessing with it. And I really thought I was the right person. And I applied for it. And someone else got it, which was also in the same, not same team as myself, but same department. And I felt very powerless, you know. I really felt like I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't, there was no way to change the outcome. There was no way to prove, you know, that I was better or whatever I thought at the time. And I felt like so terrible. I really wanted to quit, and, you know, really thought it was unfair. And looking back now, you know, it was perfect. I didn't get the promotion because it didn't take me to, it wouldn't have taken me to the place I am today. So I always try to think of this, you know, when I get these frustrations at work, and sometimes we get them for no reason, you know, sometimes we just have a bad day, or sometimes we feel like someone else is, life is so fast today as well, with social media, yeah, with people around us, we always think we're lacking behind. So up to a couple of years ago, I would say I had this feeling, like constantly comparing, constantly looking at what others are doing, always feeling behind, because you'll always be behind. I mean, there's always someone doing something better. You cannot be good at everything. So I always try to focus now, since a couple of years, you know, on my own thing. Like, this is what I'm trying to do. If it doesn't work out, fine. This is how happiness looks for me. This is how success looks for me. It's really hard, of course. It's easy to say it because I fall back into so many things, you know. Like, sometimes I hear from people and I'm like, what? This is so amazing. Like, what am I doing, you know? But you have to just remind yourself every time, like, it's okay. You're doing your own thing. And I would say this is the kind of like the biggest frustrations when you know, you feel at work you're not doing enough or you're not good enough. But at the same time, something that has come out recently, the whole kind of work-life balance, not that has come out recently, but in the sense it has gotten a lot of attention, is something that I also try to really focus on. Because in the end of the day, you know, we need to really ensure that, yes, we enjoy our work, we're doing our best, but we're also not, you know, killing ourselves, just working all the time because we want to reach the next level. And then at some point, you don't even know why you want to go there. You just want to go there because it looks like that's where you want to go. And that was what happened to me when I was at the UN with this promotions that I mentioned. You know, when I got to the level I wanted, I was a little bit lost. Like, okay, so what do I do next? You know, what's my goal now? So my goal cannot be just another level, because eventually these levels will end. And then, you know, what are you left with? So I don't know if I answered your question.
Yes. No, very good. Yeah, it's excellent. You know, you made definitely a very in-depth observation for your life, for yourself. And not always we manage to do that. Sometimes we don't have the tools to you know, to think and, you know, look back and extract ourselves from ourselves in order to see, you know, what's happening. So that's excellent. And then one last question, because you need to go and also our time is up, is what did you wish they told you back, you know, when you started your professional career that you didn't know then?
Apply for jobs you're not qualified for. Definitely to be a little bit more, you know, out there, in the sense more more confident because things are okay. And what's the worst case scenario? So in the beginning, you know, when I moved from Albania to the UK, I was so kind of thinking, oh, I don't speak English good enough. You know, I cannot apply for this. I don't think I'm good enough for this. So just having people to push you and say, yes, you're good enough. Just apply. You know, what's the worst case scenario? You're going to get rejected and then you apply to something else, or you'll get the job or you'll get the opportunity and then you just move on to the next thing. So I wish you have someone like this, you know, behind you all the time. And this can be many times your family members, you know, your siblings, a very good mentor, a very good friend. And having mentors, you know, we hear this a lot and sometimes it sounds like a cliche, but really I understood the importance of it later on, because those people that I consider now as my mentors are the ones that really, you know, gave me the opportunities, but also pushed me in the right directions and also advised me when I was a little bit maybe like, you know, hot-headed or trying to make decisions quickly, to really take my time and think. So now every time I take big decisions, I always call 2-3 people that I really appreciate their advice. And it's very funny also to see how they think. You know, in the end, I make my own decision, of course, but it's very interesting to see how they're all having different opinions and different advice. And then you can do that. So yeah. That's definitely something, yeah. I try to do this with my brother now. I try to tell him things that, like, you know, I thought were my mistakes and I want him not to do them. But in the end of the day, when you are at this age and young, you don't listen to anyone.
You don't listen, not even to your sister.
Exactly.
Yeah, but keep trying. Maybe he'll listen one day.
Yeah, maybe I'll send him the podcast. Maybe he's going
to Yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, because this is, yeah, I mean, this podcast is for the young people, you know, to help them really find their way and maybe avoid one mistake or two. Although there's no bad mistake in life in the end. Yeah. But to help them get a more like a smoother way to get to their goals, you know, also when you don't know what your goal is. Thank you so much, Anna Maria, because it's been very enlightening what you said. And I want to wish you all the best for your career. And I hope that we'll be able to meet in person one day.
Definitely. Thanks, Laura. And keep doing what you're doing because it's very inspiring. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you so much. Very kind. I'm always on the lookout for new guests to interview and discuss their potential journey. If you want to know more, contact me via the website or on social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Just tap Job Tales Podcast, all one word. See you next week.